Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Welcome, everybody. How is everybody doing? How are you all doing? Great. How was your week? Awesome. We're now in February. The year is gradually rolling on. By this time, the gyms are empty. People are finally settling down into who they truly are. But we thank God for what God has already done since this year began. Amen. Today is a very important day. It's one of the most important Sundays that we have at City Light. And we have observed this for many years. It's called Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday. So, our goal today is to once again just try and remind ourselves of why we are here, why we are together, why we're doing what we're doing. And each year I try to do it from different perspectives, but still leading to the same thing. So you got to bear with me this morning because I need to lay a foundation. And I'm going to ask you, explicitly from the beginning, because we have this, the message part, and we have some business things that we're going to be doing. We're going to take it till 12. So that means in the next 1 hour, something minutes. That's what we're going to need to get, what we need to get done today. Amen. But we're going to try and just move very fast. Amen. Is that okay? All right. So, let me first start from, the theme of this month and how the Holy Spirit spoke to me about it. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts 18 and verse 10. Acts 18 and verse 10. You know, towards the end of last year, God began to speak to me about the theme for this year, and He was speaking about power. He was speaking about influence. Speaking about power, speaking about influence. And then, one of those days, as I was studying the Bible, God began to show me, the different forms of power that He has invested in His kingdom. So one of the first was prayer, power. And He said that was the highest form of power that existed. That is the way you release power. That prayer is the highest one. He went on and showed me, other aspects. And for the aspect we're focusing on this month, it came from Acts chapter 18, verse 10. The revelation came from Acts 18 and verse 10. When God spoke to, let's start from verse 9. God was speaking to Paul, trying to assure him from being afraid. Because he was about to go to a particular city. And God was trying to calm him down. So, you will think that God will calm him down by saying, Paul, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Right? You think, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Or, just my angels are with you. Now, God, does do that. But, the Bible, one thing, the Bible is so, the way God so organized the Bible is that He uses the Bible to reveal certain aspects of Him. If anybody ever says that I know the one way that God works, you are missing it because God doesn't work in one way. Amen. So God works in various ways. He cannot be boxed in a way. So all through eternity, we're still going to be trying to unveil and understand His ways. That's what makes it exciting. So God is, why is God? Is because He's inexhaustible. You can't really know Him. And that's why God cannot be put in a box. God does not use one kind of personality, one kind of person. God needs all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So God doesn't, so God reveals different aspects of himself and of his kingdom to us all through the Bible. So you got to read through the Bible and find out what God is saying. So here God said to Paul, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. Why? For I am with you. That's the first part. I am what? I'm with you. I am with you. Now watch how God is with him. Because, you know, there's a way God can be with you by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But he was talking about a way that he was with him here. He said, no one will attack you to hurt you. Why? Everybody read it to me. For what? For I have many people in this city. I have many people in this city. So God says, Paul, be calm, be relaxed. Not only am I personally with you, but let me tell you something. I'm with you more than just my presence, my invisible presence. I'm with you because I have my body with you. I have what? My body with you. And the expression of my body that is with you is a lot in this city. Now, in some other city, it's not a lot. So we have to use a different dynamics to protect you. But in this one, I have many people. Amen. So as I was reading that, that exploded in my spirit. Wow. I was like, wow, God. You know, there's a way the Holy Spirit will explode the revelation in your spirit and then begin to take it deeper and deeper and deeper, because truth has depth. Amen. Every truth has depth, has dimensions. I have many people in this city. So, wow, you were actually telling Paul that you are going to be okay because of people. Is that true? So you're going to be okay in this city because I got some dependable people. I got a lot of them, and they will rise up if there's a need. So don't be afraid. Nobody will dare attack you. I have many people. So Paul was so bold in verse 11 that he said he continued a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So it was emboldened because of God's promise to him, of his presence, and of the people that surrounds him. So that's brought up, you know, that's just, you know, whenever I see city in the Bible, I get excited. Amen? Because God loves city. And we're in a city. So I just began to think of God's people in this city. I was like, God, if somebody was going to be preaching, you're going to be giving somebody an assignment in the city of Chicago to do something controversial, to do something that will rile up a lot of opposition. Will you say, Lan, go ahead and do this thing because I'm with you. But apart from that, I have many people in this city. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, I will say yes. Because I have what? Many people in this city. And so that's where the revelation of people power began to come to me. Began to come to me. And the beginning of that revelation is, first of all, to see a vision of God's people within the city. To see a vision of God's people within the city. And God has to open your eyes to see it. Many times we, you know, either because we've not, like the Holy Spirit, there's a way that we shortchange the body of Christ. The body of Christ, who is Christ himself, that we shortchange the body of Christ because we've not seen what God is truly doing. But there's a way that God opens your eyes and you begin to see. And listen, I've been in this city for several years now, for like 14 years or so now. It will be 14 years in March that I've been in this city. And God has taken me to different groups and all that. And let me tell you something I can. One thing I want to tell you, and which I will emphasize throughout this month. God is moving in his body in the city of Chicago. Can I have, you know, somebody who believes in that? It's not perfect. It's under construction. But I tell you, there's something that is brewing in this city that is going to transform the world. There was a time that Elijah experienced that kind of, restriction of vision. He had just, God gave him a revelation, and he was walking. He just, called fire from heaven and all that, killed the prophet of Baal. And then Jezebel rose up, and then he ran away. And then he got to a point, he was telling God, he said, God, everybody has bowed their knees to Baal. And listen, this was at a time when Israel was in an apostatic period. He said, everybody. God said, no. He said, I have reserved 7,000. Everybody say 7,000 people that you don't even know, that have never bowed their knees to bow to Baal. So what do you need to do? God told him, go and find Elijah. Go and find this person. Go and find that person and link up with them, because you've been isolated. That's why you do not know that I always have reserve. Amen. Somebody say God has reserve. So even when Israel goes into apostasy, and like when God took them out of the promised land and scattered them in Babylon, God always leaves a remnant. There has never been a time. God's plans will never stop. Amen. God always leaves a remnant of people. And those remnants were the people that will rise up to pray, and then, God will cause restoration. So the first thing I want us to hear this morning, I want you to say with me, just say after me, say, God's body, Christ's body is alive and well in the city of Chicago. God's body, beloved of God, is under construction, under development. It is more than me. It is more than City Light. Wait, City Light Church. It's more than City Light Church. It's all over the city. And God is at work. If you are excited about that, come on, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is walking all over the place. Now, so the second thing that came to me from these was, wow. There's always something just dawns on you. And I just saw, when you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, not only will the Holy Spirit teach you truth, he will begin to show you his passion. Did you get that? His passion and his desire. And he will begin to rub the same thing on you. The same passion, the same desire. Because there's a desire there. Somehow I just saw it. And it just went back. And I want you to hear this. The plan of God, the great desire of God before the foundation of this world was to have a people. To have what? A people. And listen, I'm talking in plural terms. And I'm going to be talking a lot in plural terms, because that's how the New Testament talks. Was to have what? A people. That has been his desire all through. Now, the purpose of the people is to establish a kingdom. Someone say a kingdom. But a kingdom is not made of an individual. A kingdom is made of what? A people. A people. The Bible says the glory of a king, that's in Proverbs, is in a multitude of people. Please find it for me. It said the glory of a king. I know whenever you see the word glory, it's talking about wealth, The glory of a king is in a multitude of people. So the glory of the kingdom is in the multitude of people that are in the kingdom. So the kingdom is made up of what? People. People. And that's what God writes in, you know, using that word, quote and unquote. He said, in a multitude of people is what? The king's glory. But the lack of people is the prince's ruins. Can you imagine somebody comes and says, I'm the king of Kamaskan. Let's say there's a nation called Kamaskan. So we're having a committee of nations, right? And somebody says, I'm the king of Kamaskan. What's the population? 10. And then another one comes and says, I'm the king of the United Kingdom or the queen of the United Kingdom. What's the population? Now, who do you think people are going to pay attention to? Kamaskan? That's what Proverbs is trying to say there. He said, a kingdom's glory is in what? The people and the multitude of people. That's why when you read Revelations, when you get to the end of Revelation, this is how God begins to end everything. He said, and there was a great multitude from every nation, from every tribe that no one could number. Amen. Because God's kingdom is about people. So let's go back a little bit and then I will link it up with our vision as a church. So the Holy Spirit kind of took me back and said, son, my quest throughout the ages, in fact, the establishment of the earth and all that has always been to raise up a people that will extend my glory all over the face of the earth throughout all generations until everywhere is brimming with my personality and my power. That has always been my dream from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Let's start. Let's look at some scriptures quickly. Genesis 1 26. Genesis 1 26. God said, let us make man in what? Our image, according to our likeness, and let them. In fact, you begin to see the plural aspect of, you know, this thing I'm talking about, even from the word them. Everyone say them. You know, he said, let us make man, man. He used a singular word, but you know, capital M. And then he said, let them. And then look at God himself. He uses us, us. Then he also used what? Our likeness. So whatever God is going to create, is going to reflect him, right? So the God who was creating was using a plural term. Do you get it? He didn't even say, let me make man in my own image. And that's why I want to tell you, the spirit of Christianity is not individualistic. And I'm going to show you all through scriptures this month. I'll tell you the individual part of Christianity, but the individual part of Christian is a means to the collective. Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created. And God blessed what? And God said, be fruitful. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The dominion mandate of God is a collective mandate. Did you get that? The dominion mandate of God is a collective mandate. It's a kingdom mandate. It's a mandate to a people, not a mandate to a person. It's a mandate to a people. And you see, when God speaks, God speaks, can be speaking to an individual, but he's speaking to everything inside that individual. So when God was speaking to them, he was seeing all of humanity that will still fill the earth. So he was giving a collective mandate. Amen. So one thing you can see from that verse that we just read is that God was showing us his intention. That his intention was this. I'm going to start with two individuals, but that's not my hand. I'm going to bless them because I know all resides in them right now. I'm going to give them a commission, and that commission is to fill the whole earth with my person, my character, my reflection, to fill everywhere with it. And I'm going to bless them so that they can reproduce and become a mighty people. Multitudes. That's what he meant by fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Because dominion takes place. Kingdom takes place when there is a people that is reflecting and living the kingdom. That's the only way kingdom takes place and fills the place. So that was God's original mandate. But you all know the story. You know the story that Satan came in, and that's not our focus today, tempted Adam, and it seemed as if the plan was thwarted. But God is never caught. So, God went through a lot of things to get things back. And then in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, he found a man called Abraham. Genesis 12 verse 1, let's look at it. And you'll see the same thing being repeated there. God speaking to an individual, but in his mind, he had a people in mind. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Speaking to a person, one individual, but he had a people in mind. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country. So I need to separate you because I want to do something. From your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you. And I will do what? Make you what? Now what is a nation? What's another word for a nation? A people. Someone say a people. So God was speaking to an individual, calling an individual to himself, but all the time, his original intention was what was on his mind. While he was speaking to him as an individual, he was saying, you know what? I want to work with you. I want to do this with you. But what I want really is what I've always wanted from the beginning. I just want a people. I want a nation of people that will reflect my glory all over the earth. And I'm going to have to start over with you. The first experiment failed, you know, sort of. But I'm going to start over with you, Abraham. I just want a new people. I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. In other words, I'll protect you because I have a goal. But this is my goal really. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The translation says all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. So God had people on his mind. Someone say people on his mind. I didn't say he had persons. He has persons on his mind, right? We'll get to that. He had people. He had a people. Someone say a people. A collective. He had a collective. God has always wanted to build a collective. He has always wanted to build a collective. That has always been his intention. A collective that will fill the earth with his glory. A collective. All peoples of the earth will be blessed. So, you know, there were some people on the earth then that were cursed, right? So instead of God trying to remove all, you know, and all that, what he was going to do was that he was going to create a people through which the Messiah will come. And so then all the peoples of the earth can now start coming into that. Amen. And then he will build these people. Everybody say people. Say collective. In Genesis 18 verse 18, God still reaffirming the same thing and revealing the same revelation of people to us. He said, the Lord, 18 verse 18, start from verse 17. God said, can I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Shall I hide from Abraham? Because he will surely become a great and powerful nation and all nations of the earth will be blessed through him.
Can I hide from Abraham? Because this man is going to become a multitude of people. So God was affirming the same thing, saying the same thing that, you know, talking about the purpose of Abraham. The purpose of Abraham was to become a people. The purpose of Abraham was to become a people. Somebody say amen. Because the purpose of God was to have a people. Was to have a people. Amen. So Abraham died. He died, and then, you know, you had Jacob, you had all that. We're going to skip some time. And then there was a point, there was a time when God saw, you know, please see God building a people. Are you following me? Just see God's step in building a people, and we're going to get to us. So there was a time when God had started walking. He spoke to Isaac, and then the family that he was building was expanding. Abraham, Isaac, he spoke to Jacob. And then there was a time God foresaw that something was going to happen. That if he did not do something, these people that he's building for his original intention, his kingdom, original intention, something was going to happen that would destroy them. This time around, it was going to be a natural disaster. It was going to be a famine. And they would die out. Know what God did? God took one individual called Joseph. God took him away from the people again, just exactly what he did with Abraham. And he sent him ahead. Now, when Joseph went through so many things, God allowed him to find the purpose of his life, the reason for his life. And this is how Joseph said it. Genesis 45 from verse 4. Genesis 45 and verse 4. Joseph said it this way. Come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, don't be distressed. And don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save what? Lives, that God sent me ahead of you. Verse 6, keep moving. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Next verse. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph said. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. Verse 10, you shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you and your children and grandchildren, your flock and your herd, and all you have. So God went, he moved ahead of the situation to send Joseph ahead so that that people that is building can be preserved. Amen. So that they won't die off. Exodus chapter 1 verse 6. Joseph died. Joseph had died off. Died. And then Pharaoh. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful and they multiplied. Does that remind you of Genesis chapter 1? They were fruitful and they multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, that the land was filled with them. So the dominion thing, that thing was on them. That blessing was flowing. Amen. The one he gave to Abraham, the one who gave to Adam was flowing. He was moving towards creation of a people, leading somewhere. Then there was a new king who did not know Joseph. So Satan rose up through that guy and came to power in Egypt. What was his plans? His plans was to stop the God help me. Yeah, you guys said it. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become too numerous for us. Listen. Satan is afraid of a lot of Christians. A lot of kingdom people who know the kingdom. Satan is scared about them. He's scared when God's people begin to become massive. When everybody begins to act collectively. He's scared. And we're going to scare him in this city. Amen. We're going to scare him in City Light. Oh, Jesus. He's already scared. Amen. He's been scared from the first day. Before this church started, he's been scared. I'll tell you some stories later. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country. So what are we going to do? Put slave masters over them, to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramesses and store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they what? I mean, how many of you have seen Satan throw all kinds of things in your path in the past few years to stop you? You will not go to church anymore. You will not serve this God anymore. They give you tickets. They took your house. They all kinds of things. Satan sets up things in your family. All kinds of things are happening, but you are still standing. Satan is too stupid to know that when you put pressure on people, they rise up. I don't know if you guys have read C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape Letters before. You know, when Satan was sending a letter to one of his demons, that's a very good book to read, the Screwtape Letters. And he said, be careful. Don't put too much pressure on them, because if you put too much pressure on them, they will wake up. Amen. But I think he needs to take his own advice. Amen. I don't know about you. Whenever the pressure comes on me, that's when I begin to pray the more. So what Satan thought was going to work for his good doesn't work for him. It's not working against him. Amen. The more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptian came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. Verse 15. So they had to switch strategy, and the strategy was in stopping their productivity. So they made their life bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the field, and all the hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. But the king of Egypt said to the midwives, whose name was Sipra and Pua, verse 17, now start 16. When you help the Hebrew woman in childbirth and observe them on the deliveries, so if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. What is he trying to do? To stop them. To stop that people. Satan wanted to stop that people, that collective that God had on his mind to build from the beginning, that will extend his kingdom. So that all that happened, and then God rose up. And now you need to get, there's a revelation in this, you know, Exodus chapter 9 and verse 1. When God raised up Moses as a result of all that, there was a statement that he made. Look at it. The Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord God of the Hebrews says. Let what? My what? My what? Let my people go so that they may worship me. Can you see the collective again? Let my people go that they may worship me. They may worship me. Let them go, my people. Let them go. God was building a people. They were trapped under Pharaoh. And God began to do signs and wonders. All kinds of things. Afflicting Egypt. For what purpose? To free his people. So that they could go ahead and worship him. So now, after they were released from Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. God gave the first revelation to them of what he was actually planning. And this is powerful, because this is going to be moving us to the New Testament very soon. God gave a revelation of what he actually had in mind from the beginning. Exodus 19 and verse 3. Exodus 19 and verse 3. He said, and Moses went up to the Lord God, to God, and the Lord God called from the mountain and said, this is what, pay attention, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to you in Egypt. I did to Egypt. And how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. If you obey me and fully keep my commandment, then out of all nations, you will be what? Although the whole earth is what? Everybody read it together. 1, 2, let's go. You will be for me a kingdom of what? A priest and what? And a holy nation. In other words, my plan from the very beginning was to have a people, a kingdom of priests that will fill the whole earth with my glory. But it was delayed. Satan, Adam messed up. So I got Abraham to continue and reboot the plan. Now, you guys are the progression of that plan. But let me tell you, while you are still in the wilderness, what I want to do. If you guys will consecrate yourself, because something is about to happen, something is coming upon this earth. If you will consecrate yourself, if you will get ready, I am going, you'll be my treasured possession. And out of you, I'll make you a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of what? Priests. And I will make you a nation. A holy, the word holy there had nothing to do with purity. The word holy there means separated. Everybody say separated from everyone. In other words, I'm going to have a separate set of people. Pay attention. A separate set of people from all, although the whole earth is mine, but I'm going to create a separate set of people from the whole earth. Amen. That I will use to extend my kingdom. If you are getting it, put your hands together for the Lord. If you are catching it, you are catching the revelation. I'm going to separate a people. That's what holy means there. It means separated. A nation within a nation. A kingdom within a kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. So God was still speaking about his plans, speaking about a collective. And you know, there's so many other things. I have to jump because of time. You know, you see God later, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. I'll save their nation. If my people, God began to walk. The prophet came to talk to the people. You know, you got to do that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, you see people, God speaking to his people. But then we need to move into the New Testament because God, as soon as the time came and the Lord Jesus Christ came. The first thing he said is that this will be his name because he will save his people from what? From their sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself now came and then he addressed it headlong and he continued that proclamation of what God was planning to do. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. So these people that God is talking about, that he has always had in mind. Now Jesus Christ now came and says, this is what's going to happen. He said, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my. You see, the word church, because when you hear, I'll build my church, the first thing that comes to your mind is a building, if you're not. The word is ecclesia. The word means a called out people. Everybody say a called out people. Say a holy people. That is a separated people. Someone say separated people. So he was speaking exactly the same thing God was telling Moses, that I'm going to build a kingdom of kings and priests. I'm going to separate a people. Even though the whole world is mine, but Jesus said, I'm going to separate a people, right? And then I'm going to build them. Amen. Someone say, I'm going to build them. I will separate a people and I'm going to build them. A people. And I keep emphasizing the collective. A people. Someone say people. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. In other words, a kingdom of priests. In other words, I'm going to separate a people, my own church, and I'm going to give them authority. Amen. I'm going to give them power to make changes in the world. So everybody lift your right hand with me and let's just revise what we have learned so far. Say, God's plans has always been to build a people, to have a family, a people, a kingdom, a people that will spread his kingdom. Which is his power, his nature, his character, to fill the earth with it. For God to do that, he had to begin by working with individuals. But while he was working with individuals, his mind was always on the collective, his original plans. And over time, until the Lord Jesus Christ came, God was moving towards that goal. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ saying, after I die and I rise again,
I am going to build my church. I'm going to have a called out people that will extend this kingdom goal. That has always been my plans from the beginning of creation. Did you guys get that? Come on, give God some praise if you got it so far. So that's God's plan. God's plan is to have a massive collective body. In fact, there's a place in Hebrews where, you know, I'll tell you the characteristics of those people. You know, there's an individual aspect of it, which sometimes, you know, I was telling someone, I said, truth always has, you know, it's like a double, I would say the word always a double-edged sword. So there's one edge and there's another side. So truth always has one side and one side. If you're not careful, when you're talking about one, you kill the other. When you're talking about this one, you kill the other. So one of those tensions is the individualistic aspect of Christianity. If you were born in America, you would tend to emphasize the individualistic aspect because it's an individual nation. If you were born in other parts of the world like Asia or Africa, you tend to emphasize the collective aspect because that's culture. Do you get what I'm saying? But not all of them. One is closer to the culture of scripture than the other one, the culture of the kingdom than the other one. But you need to understand where all those things are coming from. Are you listening? And you need to get it from God. There's a balance. It's just like this and this. The reason why they can pick up things is because there's a tension. This is God's plan. And God reveals it to us. Let me show you a scripture. I think it's in Hebrews. If somebody can find it for me, I don't know if I have it. I think it's Hebrews 8 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. Hebrews 8 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. It said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after the time. It's actually quoting Ezekiel. Declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my what?
People.
My what? My people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man say to his brother, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. So in this place, God is giving us the two-sided aspect. In other words, for these people to be healthy, are you listening? For these people, this collective that I'm trying to build to be healthy, each and every one of them will have to have a personal relationship with me. Amen. That is transforming them. Are you listening? So each of them will have to have an individual relationship with me. They're going to have to find me themselves. They're going to have to know me. And I'm going to help them to know me. Right? But still yet, they know me. My goal is not to have a bunch of individuals who know me all over the place, but they are not working together. That's never been God's plans. I'm a father. You understand? And sometimes, even though I'm not, you know, Bible says my earthly fatherhood is not compared to his own. Now, but, you know, there's fatherhood proceeds from God. So I'm a father and I have three kids. I want each of those kids to have a good relationship with me. Isn't that true? But I don't want each of those kids to have a good relationship and not talk to one another. Are you listening? How many of you father can say the same thing? I want each of those kids to have individual relationships, to be able to access me. But I want us to be able to work together collectively as a family. Are you listening? So no matter what, everything I am doing with each of those kids is to lead them to be able to work together collectively for the destiny of our family. That's exactly the way God is doing. If you say God is working with you, and you are an individual, and you are not able to work with the body, I doubt that God is working with you. No, God is not working with you. You have it. That's not God. When God, the proof of your relationship with Pastor Toboke, the proof of your relationship with God is how you are able to fulfill your function in the body of Christ for the extension of the kingdom. That's the proof of a mature relationship with God. How you are able to work with the body as a whole. You see, if this church says that God is working with us, and so we're not going to work with other churches in the body, we are wrong. That's not the spirit of God. The spirit of God is a let us spirit, like you saw. The proof that we're a church who is tapping into the mind of God is that we also discern that there are other churches in the city, in the nations of the world, who God is also working with, and we work together with them to get the kingdom of God established on the earth.
You guys are too quiet. Amen. If you believe what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. That's God's plans. So, you know, so don't get into extreme. Don't get into any of those whatever. Walk in a relationship with God that is deep. Christianity has an individual aspect, and that's where it begins. You must have your closet. You must test everything you hear. You go and look at it in God's word. Is this right? You dig into the word of God. You develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But when God begins to really work with you, he's going to put his body in your heart because it is his body. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, God is building a people. So, in comes. So this quest to build a people, a kingdom people, that has been the quest of God for all the ages, that quest continues. Someone say, that quest continues. And all throughout the ages, God will speak to different individuals and give them assignments. He will speak to people to form collectives. That's why we have local churches. Some people criticize and say there are so many local churches. Are you God? Amen. There was a time that Moses had a gathering. And listen, they had a gathering, and then God was taking the spirit that is on him to put it upon all the people. And there were two people that they were not in the service that day. They were doing something. And they said the spirit of God that came upon them fell on those people too. Then some people came to meet Moses. They said, but these two guys, they were not here. You know, when the Holy Spirit came, how come they are also prophesying? And Moses said to them, leave them. He said, I wish that all of God's people were prophets. I wish that what? So listen, God, through Moses, God was also signaling, he's still signaling that New Testament people. What he was saying there is this, the desire of God is to have a people that is fully mobilized. That is everyone there, everyone within these people, every one of them had a relationship with him. Every one of them understood their purpose. Everyone understood their plans. Everyone understood their places. And everyone was walking together towards a goal. That has always been God's plans. God is never placed when just, you know, some few people, or, you know, when we're scattered, when we're divided. No, we lose our power. Satan knows how to conquer us by dividing us. Our power are multiplied when we work as a collective. So, what God does is this. At different times, God will give a vision. For every generation, he will give a vision to different people. And some of those visions, in those visions, whenever a vision comes from God, it always includes a people. Any vision that is about you is not from God, or it is perverted. Every vision that comes from God involves a people, and it involves some sacrifice. Amen. So 11 years ago, it's going to be 13 years. Sorry, 13 in 13 days, it will be 11 years ago. So going a little bit before that, I was pastoring in Nigeria. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I remember I had a conversation with my wife and I said, you're coming back here. Immediately I dropped the phone. The Holy Spirit said, no, you are wrong. You are the one going over there. So things happened and all that. And then I came to the city of Chicago and, you know, I moved into what I was, you know, what I was doing from over there and helped to establish a church. Just moving on. But then the Spirit of God, you know, he has started dealing with me in Nigeria, and then he's continued to deal with me. God is to deal with me, and God, I was trying to resolve it, you know, talk, you know, with everyone, talk, you know, how do you do this, you know. And then there came a point when I knew that God wanted us to establish a church, but I was against it. I didn't want to do it. But then God began to bring all kinds of people, such mentors and everyone, telling me, yeah, God, there's something that God wants to do. I think you need to yield yourself. And then one particular night, I said, God, I yield. My wife and I
and we will do this thing. We're going to move into a point of comfort, a place of comfort, into uncertainty. Amen. And by that time, we already had a child. But you know what God did? And that's why I want to tell you, because I will quickly share little things and then we'll go into the business, aspect of this. God began to do some things that amazed me. One of the first things that happened was there was this man of God. You all know him, Pastor Reverend Sam Adeyemi, who is, you know, very big then and all that. And he heard about this thing. And I remember him flying just all the way from Nigeria for that weekend when this church was about to start. There was another time he was coming that he was trying to come here just to be with us for one day. And there was traffic to the airport that he had to get on a motorbike. If you see Pastor Sam getting on a motorbike, I mean, you know, it's a problem. And you know the reason why he was getting on a motorbike, because he was going to miss his flight to be with us here. That was that meeting that you first saw him. So he got on a motorbike to get to the airport just to make sure that what he made it here. So I asked myself, okay, so if somebody like that, what is moving him? Amen. Okay, so I know something was moving him, was moving me. But I said, what is moving this man? And then I see people like Pastor Omo. You know, Pastor Omo was in another church. He was in Living Word. And then he calls me and he says, you know what? I'm going to come and join this thing. And then the next thing, this man was carrying, you know, I don't even want to tell you the story. Always driving from Zion, carrying all the speakers and putting it. He was going through a lot of things in his own life. But Sunday after Sunday, carrying everything, setting up, what's moving this guy? Amen. Something, there must be something moving this guy. And then there were different people like that. People like, you know, Ronti. I told Ronti, Ronti went to IIT. And began to talk to everybody at IIT. The next thing was, the first time we sent a bus and he brought IIT people. And the next, you know, we had, people, drummers, that's how, you know, Shego, Bear, all those people came and the way this trumpeting it. And sometimes we'll meet and we'll have like two or three people or whatever. And these people were doing this thing. And they were doing this. No. What's moving these people? Amen. I remember when I told Boye, I just told him, Boye said, I'm going to be your first usher. Even though he wasn't the best usher, but he tried. He had to resign from ushering. Boye took me. We got into the car and Boye took me around the entire city to Tinley Park. We were trying to find where is the location, where is it going to be? And then we got to Hyde Park. As the moment we got to Hyde Park, I got to this. I said, yes, this is the place. I told Yemi. Yemi said, yes, sir, let's do this. The next thing, you know, is in mom's house. Ask them, we will have prayer meetings there. There was one guy called Tokwe who is no longer here. He's in Nigeria. You know, we're still very much in touch. So we had a meeting in his house. And then he came out. And the next thing, he wrote a check of $2,000. I mean, that's the first time I'll see $2,000. And before the church, I like $2,000. So like, what's moving this guy? What's moving all these people? What's moving them? There's something they were believing in. Now I tell you, those things encouraged me. As a start. And that's not, I didn't mention all the people involved because I can't mention all the people involved. But those, they encouraged me to start. So, listen, over the years, sacrifices upon sacrifices. Even some people who were part of this place are no longer. For example, last year, a couple that was here before, they are now in Nigeria. They called me and they said, we are liquidating our stocks and we're going to put it into the Life Development Center of City Light. So they liquidated all their stock in a very popular company and sent it to the church. Like, what's moving people in this? My wife and I, we had houses. So we had a house, you know, some of you know, very comfortable, very large field and all that. The Holy Spirit said, dispose of it and move to the city. You don't do such things for nothing.
Are you listening? Pastor Omo had a house that he bought, nice house on the north side. The Holy Spirit said, dispose of it and move to this location. Are you listening? Sacrifices. Now, people could accuse all of us, those people, you can accuse us of different things, but you can never accuse of us insincerity or immorality or lack of integrity. It's 11 years. Now, you could tell us that we don't know some things, or we are learning some things, or we don't, you know, but you can never, ever say that. Because there's something we sincerely believe in. Are you listening? You can never accuse us that we ever took money that belonged to the church and turned it into personal gold. God forbid! Different people have come and do the finances and all that. Sometimes when before they come in, they you know, because they don't know what's good. By the time they get in, they understand that, wow, these people are even putting more than they have ever gotten. Listen. So I began to see all that. And, you know, then people, you know, pastors, just all kinds of people all over. And then over the years, I see God's instructions to do this and to do that. You know, there was a time when people, you know, from the city, people from the nation, people will come to see what they are. I'm like, what is going on in this place? And then, you know, one of the things the Holy Spirit used to speak to me is this. And that's why I want to end with this. You need to see the unseen. He told me, he said, it's not about what you can see now. Somebody say amen. It's not about what you can see now. It's what about what I see. He said, I move people. Not because of what you can see now, but because of what I see. The instruction God gave is this. He said, I want you to raise me a people. Come on, say a people. I want you to raise me a people. A people, a kingdom people. A people that will love me, love one another, know their purpose, and make a difference in the world. A people that will make a difference in their generation, and they will pass it to the next generation. A people that will fill my city and the cities of the world with my glory, with my light. A people that will not just to one another because they are secured in their purpose. A people that will know that they are significant. They are significant because they know who they are. And they will bring their significance and bring it together with the other people. And they will multiply my glory all over the earth, all over the city. And the name of it shall be called the City Light. I saw a picture of a candle and many candles scattered over all over a map. And I want to tell you that those candles are here. Somebody say amen. I've seen those candles. Some of them are flickering. Some of them are strong. Some of them are growing. I see the candle. I see the candle when I see somebody like Peace, who was walking at, she worked at Thresholds. She was comfortable there. She has a master's degree. She was doing things there. And God spoke to her and said, come out. Come out of that and start working for the LDC to touch the people and to work for the initiative I've given you. You know, peace. I mean, pure unity. Amen. I see the light flickering and those kind of things. I mean, I see the light shining. Those kinds of things excite me because that's the vision. I see the light when I see somebody like Amara who came to me and say, you know, God is speaking to me to run for the mayor of the city. To run for the mayor of the city. And I see that light. I see that light when, you know, the things she does, every time I go on Facebook and I read what she writes in the newspaper and I read the different places that she's going to and how she's touching people and trying to, you know, change the dynamic of the city. I see that candle. I see that candle when Pastor Thomas sat down and said, I need to put my story down. I've learned some things about following, about followership. I think I need to spread it around the world. And he sat down and he wrote a book called Follow. Worship. I see that candle. I see that light. I see it flickering. I see it when somebody like Pastor Olumide, when he comes and he says, you know what? My heart has always been to help missionaries all over the world. And he's been doing it. He was doing it from his money. He was doing it from his house for over the years. And he says, you know what? I want to take it bigger right now. I want to get other people into it. And he's sending money. I saw one missionary that he has been supporting for a long time when I went in Nigeria. And I saw the work that guy was doing. That guy was going to places where none of us would go to.
and reaching people where none of us will ever reach. The depth inside of West Africa, all those places, going there to villages where they don't have TV, they don't have nothing. In fact, as a church, we just provided them audio Bibles to distribute in those villages. I see the light flickering. I see the light, shining. Hallelujah. I see the light when I see people start businesses, when people, start things like, the billionaires club and all those that try to put two people together in a collective to express a part of the kingdom. I see the light when somebody like Shola, Shola is very simple, but from the moment I've known her, she's always been very independable. She started as an usher, and I used to watch her then. And then she discovered that, I'm called to be a singer. And, I can't imagine maybe a few Sundays that she's been out of this place, but she's a fixture in that place. She works on a very busy job. She has to drive to Schomburg all the way throughout the week, but she's there for the rehearsal. She's there to sing. I see the light. I see it. It's going to be brighter than that. Amen. It's still going to be brighter than that. It's still going to be more than that. But I tell you that I see it. I see the sacrifices people are making. I see the seeds that people are sowing. I see the passion that is rising inside of people. I see God dropping things inside of people. Listen, that is what God has called us to do. I look at Brother Fred. I'm just trying to show you some pictures of that line. I look at him. People can't believe the pastors is practically coordinating the pastors of Chicago right now. Amen? As in, he's coordinating them and giving everybody instruction. But they are all surprised that he's an usher in the church. There was a meeting of pastors we had before he came, and everybody was talking. Ah, that man, I just can't understand him. People say, it's one of Pastor Lance's ministers. No, it's not one of my ministers. It's my co-minister. It's not one of my ministers. I don't have any minister. Somebody say amen to that. I'm not Jesus Christ. It's one of my co-laborers. It's one of my partners. It's one of those people that God sent and said, work together to bring light to this city. I'm not superior to him. He's not superior to him. I'm not superior to Pastor Homer. I'm not superior to any one of you. We are one and the same. We only have different places in the body. My place is to coordinate, but you have your place. I will let you have your place. Let me have my place also, because we're not competing. Are you listening? And I told them, you don't know. He has been more of a blessing to us than we have ever been to him. Every month is gathering all those ministers, encouraging them and doing it. I see the light. In fact, I'm beginning to see them in our children. I see the light. I see the light when I see somebody, like Marion and Stubby walking to the church. They leave their home and they feel comfortable. They go to my office. They sit in my seat. And one day he said, what do you want to be? He said, I want to be a pastor when I grow up. Hallelujah. I see the light. I'm so focused on the light that I can't see the darkness. I'm so focused on the vision that I can't see the imperfections. Because that's not my goal. That's not my work. I said, I will build my church. Who's going to build this church? But I'm focused on what he's saying. And listen, I see the light in all of you. I see it. Don't let it die. Don't let the devil die. There's a people that God is building. And the time comes. The time comes when all over this city, we will have thousands and thousands of them. And these are people with selfless faith. These are people with purposeful lives. These are non-competing people. These are people who are fully sold out to God. These are people who know their places. These are people who are about people. These are people who are about God's purpose, about God's plans. They are not jostling one another. They are not breaking their ranks. They know their place in the body and they are fulfilling their purpose, and God is multiplying multiplying them through their own families and through the works of their hand. I see the 25th anniversary of this church as we tell stories of people that touch thousands of people in the cities of this world, touch thousands of people in the nations of this world, because they found themselves, because they knew Christ and they walked with Christ and they walked with the other people and they found their freedom. And they are making a significant difference in their spheres of influence. In the name of Jesus. I see it. I see the light. You know, when Sheguan Doyin came to me and they say, God has been speaking to them to starting a marriage, something to minister to married people. Something happened inside of me. I said, Lord, the light is shining again. The light is shining again. That's it. That's what you spoke about. That's what you spoke about. I see it every day. When people share a vision with me, some people think I'm just so enamored with people's vision. Yeah. But it's because I see the light. Amen. I see the light. I see the light. I see the light. I see the light. Ella, I saw the light when your parents came. When your parents came to the church. And then they were talking about the things you wanted to do. How you went to Nigeria. You didn't know anybody there. And she traveled to Nigeria. It wasn't such a pleasant experience for her. But she came back and she said, I still want to go back. I see the light. I see the light. I see the light. I see the light. Isn't you? I see the light. Please never get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Stay with him. One, know him. Everybody repeat after me, say, know him. Please come and play the keyboard for me, because I'm ending this part now. Know him. Everybody say, know him. Personally. Know him. Seek him. Learn of him. Listen, as much as I enjoy my time with God's people, I enjoy my time with God alone better. I enjoy my time with God alone better. But I love God's people. I love the church. I love the church. White, black, liberal, conservative. I love the church. Because in there, there's an expression of light. Of the light of God that is about to be unveiled. I love the people of God. I love when the people of God catch a vision of God and a vision for their generation. I love it when people sacrifice the normal for the higher things. When people give themselves over to Him and not to man. I love it when people seek a higher kind of living that is beyond individual and self-focused and egocentric. And they seek the good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, but who went about doing good, healing all those who are present with them. I love it. I cry. Few things can make me cry. But such things make me cry. I love it. I love your visions. I love you. I love your purpose. We are here for you. We're not here to build ourselves. I'm talking about us. No, because that won't give me fulfillment. That's not my life. The reason for my life is to build people. I love you. I love your vision. And the resources of this church is a vow we have made. We use it. Our influence, our support, everything. For people to find themselves, because that's the purpose of everything. I love the poor. I love the disenfranchised. I love people who don't have as much opportunity as we have. I love the students in the schools of this city, of this community, of this city. It's the reason why I moved to the city. I could live a different kind of life. Sometimes I go see some of my friends and I see their houses, and I know how easy it is for me to get those kind of houses, but they are far away in the suburbs. I won't be able to do what I'm doing. I won't be able to come here 5 a.m. to come and pray. Can you imagine me driving from Zion to come and pray 5 a.m.? 365 days of prayer. You know, it will be 365 days before I get here. It will have finished all the prayers. But because I live very close, even if I, you know, wake up 10 minutes before, I can get here. But sometimes I see it. I see it. I love this. And it tells me, don't worry, I'll give you more than that. I'll give more than that. But do what I told you to do. Seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be. Pray for his prosperity. For in his prosperity, you will also prosper. I'll take care of you. And I'm thinking beyond you. I'm thinking for you, about your children. Because it's an optimal place where they must be for them to fulfill their purpose. So if you choose comfort, the comfort might not work for them. But sometimes you've got to go through some hardship so that they can have the right kind of foundation that they need to have. But I see it in you. I see it in you. I see stories of transformation. When I look at Joe, I see the light. I see the light because I remember those days. I remember the reputation he had in the city. I remember the, you know, those times when I first getting close to him, and they would tell me, "Ah, that guy is a wicked, you know, he's." I told some people, they saw his name, and they said, "This one is it? Does he go to your church?" So yes. But you know what? This man is being transformed by the Holy Spirit. There was a time we did like, I don't know whether it was 20 hours of prayer. What did we do? From that time, God began to open his eyes to revelations. Revelations about the kingdom. You know, and last week I said, you know what? I think he has some things that I'm going to be doing the next Light Everywhere broadcast with him. You know, I just, you know, 15 minutes, about 15 for him to come and share those revelations. I will spread it on social media. God is giving him revelations. But one of the stories of City Light is the story of transformation. Story of transformation of people who were, you know, they were down on the other side, but God brought them closer to himself. Pastor Mo shared, he said, "I was bound with pornography, but when I came and I began to come, it's, you know, if it's told all those stories, now it's free. And he has what? A great family." Hallelujah. It's the story of transformation. Because the purpose of City Light, let me say that, that's what I wanted to say, and I wanted to end with that. You know, the purpose of City Light, first of all, is to help people to know God. Everybody say, "Know God." Say it again, say, "Know God." The second purpose is to help people to connect to one another. Everybody say, "Connect to one another." To connect people. Through City Light right now, we have a network that extends beyond this to other states, to other nations. Right now, and I see it. I go there, I see people, City Light people gathering and this and that. They were part of this and they still feel more. Some of them called me. One of them called me recently, who has not even been in this church for like, you know, maybe 5 years or so. And he said, "Pastor Lan, I'm getting married this year and I'm going to fly you to Abuja because I want you to be the one that will join me." Some of them are calling. They are calling Doyin and Emily. They have two people right now who are ex-City Light, who are not based in Chicago, that they are going to be starting premarital counseling with. These people, they go to churches and all that, but they are calling back because of the connection. They still send seeds in, they still do all that. It's to connect people to one another. The third is to help people find freedom. Everybody say, "Find freedom." That's our fellowship goal. So through our small groups, because freedom does not happen alone. Freedom happens in community. Confess your fault one to another. There are many things you struggle with and you keep struggling with it until you get together with a group that you trust and you talk about it. That's the purpose of the GQs. That's how freedom comes. Confess your fault one to another that you may be healed. So you talk about things that you can't talk about in church. That's how people get free. So it's to help people find freedom. The fourth is to help people discover their purpose. And we're doing that through our growth track. We're doing it through our leading light. A systematic thing to help people find out their place. And the fourth one is to help people make a difference. To give them platform to make a difference. Help them make a difference. We're doing that through all our initiatives that have been started. Through the LDC. Through our outreaches. Through all these things to help you find your place. And the church is organized all around that. That is what City Light is. That is what we're called to do. Hallelujah. How many of you catch a little bit of that vision right now? Do you get it? Do you know the reason why you are here? Why don't you jump up on your feet right now if you know? Do you know why you are here? Do you get it? Everybody say, "I'm a light." God's plan is to build a people, and the light is in me. I will let it shine.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.